Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Why don't we pause for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we quiet our hearts before you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful winter day. And I just pray, Lord, as we come to you this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day, gathered together as saints of God, Lord, I pray you would help us to open our hearts and to receive the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. And I just pray you'd be with me as I share. I could just share your word in clarity and only what you once said. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I'm not sure, I guess I trepidate a little. My burden this morning, and has been for quite some time, is cultivating prospering marriages. Is that an opening message? What's going to be this morning? I hope what I'm sharing this morning can be an inspiration in preparing our hearts for the main message. If you're not married here this morning, you can still open your heart. You may someday find yourself married, and you're going to have, I think these are things we can file away and learn, and I think we can also use these same principles in building relationships anywhere. I guess the burden for this subject simply comes because I know as we live life, we live relationships, and as we bump shoulders with other people, whether they're our past neighbors or other families in the congregations, you know, we all find ourselves at different places in our marriage relationships. Some may be thriving, some may be going through times of struggle. Sometimes we ourselves go through times that we have to work a little harder at certain issues. Marriage doesn't just happen. Good marriages don't just happen for any of us. It's a journey that we all have to maintain. Marriage relationships take work if they're going to thrive. Ours do, mine does, and any relationship doesn't just happen, but marriage relationships are especially close. And so it takes more work. We can walk away from other relationships. This one is the closest relationship we have on earth. It's going to stare us in the face, whether it's good or whether we're struggling with it. There was some time ago, we had an Amish family, neighbors to us, just a half mile down the road in where we used to live down in Gap. We knew the home was less than ideal. My wife would drive their oldest daughters around quite a bit, or youngest daughters, actually. We learned to know some of the situation, very needy situation. And one night around the middle of about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, I got a call from this one daughter saying, "Would you please come over? We're having a terrible problem over here. Would you just come over and try to help us out?" So I drove over, woke up, and walk into a room full of hotly arguing family. Parents are pointing their fingers at each other, and they're arguing and pointing out faults in each other's lives, and the children are pointing fingers at this parent and that parent, and this is going on back and forth, and one parent will share for a while and point out the faults in their partner, and then the other partner will defend themselves and point out the faults of the other one, and then the children are in, and I'm sitting there watching all this unfold. What do you say? I tried to share as best I could in the situation. And after an hour of that, from about 1 o'clock or 12:30 till 1:30 in the morning, being there about an hour, I shared and went home. But those kinds of things, those burden me. I mean, there is someone who's claiming the name of Christ, and that the situation isn't much better than the world. And I'm thankful this morning that in our situation, after we're married now, January 17th, we've passed our 26th wedding anniversary. And I can still say, I've been married to my best friend, and she's still my best friend. But that didn't just happen. It took a lot of work. And I can also say that in our courtship, I met a Christian who was serious about walking with God. And I wasn't a Christian when I started courting my wife, my girlfriend at that time. And my wife's testimony, my girlfriend's testimony, was clear. So clear that it convicted this sinner. And I became my wife's convert. So I have the opportunity to live with the one who brought me to saving faith in Christ. Her testimony. I can say I'm living with one of the godliest women on earth. I mean that. The challenge is for me as a husband to make sure that I'm walking with God, because I find myself when I'm not, then I find selfishness cropping up all over the place. And it becomes difficult for me to be the kind of protector and husband that I should be. That one phrase my wife has often said that really sticks out to me, and I think it's a challenge for all of us. Choose your love. You chose your love, right? When you got married, it wasn't an arranged marriage. It was a marriage you entered in on your own free will, right? So you chose your love. Now love your choice. So if you chose your love, then choose to love your choice that you have made for the rest of your life, and do whatever it takes to cherish and protect that relationship, and don't let anything get in between it. You know, you might say, well, I didn't grow up seeing a beautiful Christian marriage in my home. So I'm crippled in my relationship with my marriage. You know, I did not grow up in a functioning, beautiful functioning marriage. There'd be times I put my pillow over my head to close out the sounds down below at night, so that I wouldn't have to listen to it so I could sleep. Do you know how unsettling that is to your children? Terrible unsettling. You aren't sure if you're going to find your parents in the same house the next morning. And by God's grace, I don't want to be giving that kind of impression or struggle to my children. It's terribly unsettling. I brought this in my, as I was studying, I decided to open the Amplified Bible and read Ephesians chapter 5 in the Amplified. This is not my Bible. This is the Amplified Bible. And I decided it brings out some verses here in clarity in a way that really stuck out to me as I was studying it. And so I decided this morning for something different. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5 from the Amplified version. I want you to listen closely as I read. And I want to bring out some points that I feel in every marriage, if there's going to be a happy, thriving marriage in your home, in your relationship experience, even if it isn't totally where you want it. And you know what? I'm not totally satisfied with my marriage either. I want it to be better than what it is. I don't think it ever comes to the place. You know, as you walk through your garden and you get a few fresh tomatoes, are you satisfied with the crop for that year? You want to see more, right? Until frost comes. And I think in our relationship experience, we have never come to the place that we've finished growing or that it's as good as it's ever going to get. Even for any of us that may say, you know, my marriage is a blessing, but at the same time, I still feel a place, there's a need for growth in my life. I still see areas in my life that there's selfishness, there's less, I'm exemplifying Christ less than what I should be. I could do better in that area. I need to hone in. And so my, even for any of us, even if you, we feel like our marriages are thriving, let's take the challenge to make them even better. I'm going to read, start reading, it's 18 in Ephesians chapter 5 and read down through to 33. Therefore, do not be, no wait, 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and consistently guided by him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the reason I read those first few verses, I want to get us see the context that this passage of walking in harmony in our marriage relationships comes in. Being filled with the Spirit. Walking in rejoicing. Walking in singing. A life completely surrendered to Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit. And controlled by His dictates. Verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as head of the home. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surrender her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God, so that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy, set apart for God, and blameless. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being in a sense their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourisheth and protects and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This mystery of two becoming one is great, but I am speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. And the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him and prefers him and treats him with the loving concern, treasuring him and honoring him and holding him dear. That doesn't leave a whole lot of question on how or what is expected of us, does it? I was so challenged when I read that. There's something that sticks out to me as I read this. You know, what are some very practical, when it comes down to the very base foundational principles that make a marriage work? They're not very complicated. But one thing that I really thought sticks out here as I was reading this is respect. A very high respect for your partner. And that's something that we in our marriage have always worked hard to guard over and maintain. Never speak to your wife or your husband in a disrespectful or degrading way whatsoever, even in your tone of your voice. That is a very, very important and foundational principle. Respect, a very high respect. I can say I don't believe my wife has ever talked to me disrespectfully in our 26 years of marriage. And that's challenging, that's humbling. I'm not worthy of that. I've handled myself in disrespectful ways where she could have let me have it. I've not been a perfect leader. I made serious mistakes. I've had to go back and apologize. So I'm not a perfect husband. But nurturing respect in our hearts towards our partner is a foundational principle that we need to cultivate in our relationships and marriage. Another one is an attitude of thankfulness for our partner. You know, I've found in almost no exception where there's serious marriage struggles, there's almost always finger pointing and fault finding in the party. That's both directions most times. Usually takes two parties to fight. It's almost always finger pointing in two directions. And a lack of thankfulness for the partner that God has given me. Now, I think one of the main things that needs to happen in a case where we do find ourselves at that place is turn the finger around and look in the mirror. And then, you know, little tiny steps. If we find ourselves in a place where we are struggling in our marriage relationships, you know, I told my wife as we were talking, I was asking my wife a lot of questions as I was studying this. I wanted to hear her heart. I took this very important, I guess, in preparing. And, you know, I feel like the first few years of marriage has a big impact on what comes out for the years to come. You're laying groundwork and a foundation, and you're building habits. You know, all of us have a lot of habits. We live life habitually. You don't think about. So if you set your alarm, you get up, you have routine that you go through throughout the day. You don't re-routine every morning. If you do, you're a pretty unstable person. Life is built on routine. Some routines fluctuate a little bit depending on what kind of job we have. If you're a dairy farmer, you're out there every morning milking cows. If you're a beekeeper, I'm not opening up hives and harvesting honey in the middle of the winter. But there's still routine that I do. And so as you build life as a young married couple, you're building a life of habit. If you learn early in marriage to build your life on a habit of respect towards each other, you're going to build a legacy in your marriage relationship and foundations that's going to be respect. The same is true if you're building a relationship of thankfulness for your wife and you're cultivating that. You're going to have to change the way you operate in order to and start not thanking God for your wife and start being unthankful for your partner and start fault finding and change the habit of the foundation of your marriage in order to go back and change. I'm not saying slowly over time you can't take turns and start curving in a wrong direction. But the foundation of early marriage years has a big part to play in what becomes of the years to come. The same is true, though, if we find ourselves at a place that we don't think it's at a place we aren't totally satisfied with, we're going to have to make slow, steady changes in changing our habit. For myself, just giving an illustration of this, I found myself, so there have been some things I wanted to take for dietary, just healthy, some vitamins and things as I'm getting older. I thought it'd be important for me to start taking some vitamins. And my wife had gotten me some, and they're in the cupboard there, and right next to my keys and stuff, so I remember it's close, and I just keep forgetting the bottle sitting there. A year goes by, and still there. I tell my wife, I've got to do something about this. And she said, well, there they are. They're in the cupboard, you know. And I keep forgetting. And after a while, I read, how many of you have ever heard of the book Atomic Habits? I read that book, or listened to it on a tape, and it challenged me that all of a life, if we want to make changes in the way we do things, we have to build habits, build on habit. So I want to take these vitamins. I'm going to have to start coming to the place that I continue, put them at a place And every morning I make a purposeful decision that I'm going to do this. You do that long enough and it becomes a natural part of your daily habit. You no longer find yourself needing to remember this, neither do you find yourself forgetting. And so you stack habits. If you want to change relationships the way they are, if you're not happy with marriage relationships, you're going to have to purposefully stack small choices to make a change. If you find yourself constantly bickering or arguing and finding yourself lacking thankfulness towards your partner, you're going to have to make purposeful choices to start giving her praise or giving him praise. And you're going to have to build a habit and change the habit that you have. And it's going to take time. You didn't get into that situation overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight. And I believe it is simply a matter of small choices to either honor your husband more, love your wife more. It's going to be a series of small choices that you're going to build over time to change habits. And over time, you can change the relationship from something that's less than ideal to a beautiful marriage relationship. And you can make choices, steady choices, to make changes. But you're going to have to change habits. And habits do not just change overnight. You're going to have to make purposeful choices. And you don't have to change the whole thing overnight. Make small choices to change small areas. You know, you may look at some situations in relationships and say, how ever are you going to get through this? Or how ever are you going to change this huge issue in your life? Small choices over a long period of time can make massive changes in destiny. Just a few small choices, adjusting and changing direction just a little bit. I was on a sailboat last winter down in Florida with my wife on our 25th wedding anniversary. And those men were constantly, they had a destination they wanted to go to with the sailboat. And the winds kept pitching, changing directions. So they had to constantly change the sails so they could continue going the direction that they wanted to. And the interesting thing is, if you're going against wind in a sailboat, you have to take the sailboat sideways with the wind blowing into the sails. You're going against the wind. And then you take it sideways again and you take it for a distance and then you take it back and forth and you're going back and forth. And that's how you gain against wind on a sailboat. That's how they would have done years ago when coming directly against wind with ships. There were ways that they could do that. Just pitch sideways on a 45 degree angle directly toward the wind. We will have the same with us. We make small choices and pull in a different direction, but you won't do it. It's going to be a series of small choices. And so that's my encouragement this morning to us. My burden this morning is to, let's look at our marriages as Christians, as children of God. Is our marriage, is my marriage, you know, when you think, in my mind, I have couples that I think of that are a challenge to me. I think they're higher than me in their relationship. They, you know, you look up to them as someone that has it together when it comes to their marriage relationship. They're a challenge. And I want to encourage us, let's all of us push toward the mark to be that kind of a challenge and in our communities. You know, we live in a world with broken marriages. Do we have the answers for these people? We need to. We can. And I don't think we need to beat ourselves up if we find ourselves at a place that we aren't where we want to be. You know, none of us are where we want to be. But let all of us together, let's make small choices towards a better marriage relationship and exemplifying Christ in a greater way to our partner. You know, by doing that, it's going to greatly enhance and strengthen the congregation here. We need strong marriages in order to have strong churches. That's my encouragement for us this morning. May God bless us.